Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand. But I have the Taylor Swift song stuck in my head. I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday, which I like don't really understand that line. You know, I could do it with a broken heart song.
This is my interpretation of it. I don't know if it's correct, but I think it's the kind of vibe of you're so depressed and you're like, fuck it. Like, I'm going all out. I'm spending a lot of money. I'm like absolutely like going crazy at the club because like I'm so depressed. I might as well just YOLO it. That's what
Yeah, that's fair. Anyways, sorry. I just, you know,
wow,
listening to Taylor Swift on my way home.
That's look, I'm all here for it. It's funny, that album, I think it's great. I like it. There's like a few songs like Down Bad I really like, but it's a little on the slow side and a lot of it sounds kind of similar. And I just like haven't been
boppy.
In that type of mood. No.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not very like catchy or boppy, but it's good for the Female Rage the Musical, which is what now the Eras Tour has become, which we also love.
We do love. I actually have like thought about just like the concert itself and like the outfit so much. Cause I know we've talked about like, just like no hate to Taylor Swift, but like she really does not have good style IRL, but then has such interesting and cool outfits on stage.
Some.
And I was just thinking about how so many of them are basically like leotards. And I just want to know how she, and they're like crystal, how she's not like accidentally like this so weird
look like body herself. Casts
they kind of do, because I'm like, I don't understand how she hasn't like literally accidentally like caught her Lego on the sequins, because I had the stress circling back to college like so random for a semi-formal type event. It was gold and sequin. I obviously do not have this anymore, thank god for everybody's like oh god. Anyways, I literally, by the end of the night, I had cuts all up and down, like the inner parts of my arms and like my legs from the sequins.
Yeah.
And I will like never wear, I don't want to say never, but generally speaking, like won't wear sequins again. So I just like, whenever I see that, I'm like, good for her. But I'm just like, so perplexed.
I think hers are more bedazzled, but still it's like, especially that underarm area, like that would at least give you some like chafing or something. But it's a good point. You know, I don't know how she and many pop stars do it when it comes to outfits and dancing around in stilettos for hours on end. Like, couldn't be me, but it is a form of athlete. I will say that.
Oh, for sure. Also, I texted Maddie this already, guys, but I just think like Anthony Blinken is kind of a zaddy. Like, I just, I need to, like, see,
look at a picture and,
like, there's something.
I've never, like, seen him and thought of him in any type of sexual way ever. So when you said that, I'm like, I think I, like, remember what he looks like. Okay.
Thoughts?
I don't know.
Like, it's not like, I'm not looking to date some. I mean, first of all, he's married and it's good. Like,
no,
not,
I mean,
into
I
that
see
age
it.
Range,
I
but
see it. He's got, like, some flow hair-wise,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful given his age. I see it.
Yeah. I don't ride for the baldies. I'm so sorry.
No, like, justice for the baldies, but.
But, like, I need some hair to swoosh.
To swoosh.
Swoosh.
To grab. Yeah.
So there's that.
Anyways.
And then second to that, for whatever reason, we keep getting served all of these, like, Fleet Week videos and then all of, like, these Air Force videos from all the different brigades. I'm so not educated in this category, obviously. And, oh my God, first of all, I'm afraid of flight.
Speaking, are you guys talking about how hot they are?
Uh-huh.
Samantha, I met a whole brigade of Air Force pilots in Tahoe.
Watch them, like, not be called brigades.
I don't even know. Like, squadron. That's what they call themselves. Like, 2 to 3 weeks ago. And they were amazing. Like, first of all, just, like, so friendly and fun. And there was one that I vibed with that day. He's super cute. They all had the mustaches, which,
of course,
just, like, no matter what, I don't know why it makes anyone hotter.
It does.
It's so weird.
When it's an so ironic, weird, like, a hot enough guy that's ironic in a way with it, not like, yeah, a porn stash. But yes, continue.
Yeah, and it was, okay, I'm going to totally butcher this, but there's this jet, fighter jet, that is the one, like, the best one. And it's, like, the Top Gun one, like, the new version of the Top Gun plane. Those guys we were with flies those ones. And the, like, leader of it all is this woman who is the first woman to ever fly that plane. And she just happened to go to high school with one of my best friends who was there and, like, on the East Coast. And they were, like, saw each other just out of nowhere, just through a crowd, saw each other. And then we all started hanging out after that. But she, like, I think she flew over the Super Bowl. Like, she's a fucking icon.
Sick.
Sorry. Just had to tell that story that you brought up.
No.
Air Force people.
That is so sick and so awesome. And we love to see more women pilots, first of all. Like, first and foremost, I think that is so iconic. And second to that, like, these flyboys out there. And honestly, given the fact, I don't know if you saw the Kansas City Chiefs dude that gave this, like, commencement speech where he basically told the graduates, women specifically, to, like, get back in the kitchen. That was, like, that's their role. Like, these people.
I didn't see this.
Yeah. Go. It's.
Is he white?
So cringe. Yeah. He's, like, he's a kicker.
Oh.
He's got, like, a beard.
Dude, get a real job then, loser. I could do that, like, job. I could do your job.
Literally. Sign Maddie up. Let's fucking get you on the field. I'm not even kidding. Literally. Like, let's do it. Kansas City Chiefs, call us up. Call us up. Thank you very much. Maddie's manager right here.
Mm-hmm. You're my sports agent. Samantha's going to get me the highest signing bonus in all of the NFL. For any kicker, anywhere, anytime.
Wait, can you imagine? Yeah. That would be, like, iconic.
I think it's time for there to be a female kicker in the NFL. Like, we can do it. We can probably do it better.
But yeah.
But just, like, would never want to be tackled by one of those, like, 300-pound men. Can you imagine?
No interest. Yeah. The amount of concussions, like, feel like between the two of us had concussions from other sports. Like, don't need one from getting tackled, like, asking for it, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
No, thank you. That's just not. Look, if someone wants to do it, I commend them. It's just not going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker situation, however, again, hit these digits. We need to get Maddie on the field. She's going to be Kansas City Chiefs kicker. That's another state I've never been to.
Ramble of all rambles.
All over the place. I do want to say one, like, little exciting teaser tidbit before we get into this episode. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, you'll know that yet again, I'm wearing this motherfucking green sweatshirt that I never seem to take off. I actually do take it off and wash it all the time. But I swear to God,
the color I got? Oh, sorry. I'm already ruining this. Surprise. I'm so sorry. Keep going.
Jumping. It's fine. Okay. Well, you know what? That's like even like a better segue. Oh, so, okay. If you're on YouTube, you'll see the color of my sweatshirt. It's like the one that I'm like literally always wearing when we somehow seem to be like recording our intro. This type of sweatshirt is going to be amongst our new orders that we're doing for some merch, some Gov Club / Girl Only Gov merch. So merch. Cute. We just ordered our two samples, two of the many colors that we're going to offer, and there are going to be two different styles potentially. But before we like make it available to you guys, or like at least tell you where to find the link, because like technically you can buy it right now, but like we don't know the quality yet. We're testing it out. So it'd be like at your own risk. So just give it the week and a half that it takes for us to get our samples and to like see.
So is that the color I got that you're wearing? To go back to my question.
I think so. It's like a little, that's why I also was like, we should definitely make sure that like we get them first so we can like see what this looks like IRL, guys, because I think this is the color that Maddie got for hers. And if that's the case, fucking love it. And yeah, it should be great anyways. But
so exciting. It's about time. It's been so long since we've had new merch. So get ready and we will let you guys know when it becomes available. But with that said, I feel as though we can introduce our guest now. It's been a minute times
it has
20. And yeah, Samantha, do the honors.
Drumroll, please. We have today as our guest, Anna Thomas, and she is running for State House in Pennsylvania. She is awesome. So fun. Just like the girls that get it, you know, to bring that phrase back into 100%. Back into circulation. Like, where is that phrase come?
No, how did that actually get retired? So true. Bring it back. We're bringing it back.
Yep. We're bringing it right back with Girl in the Gov. And now we're going to bring you this episode, this interview with Anna. So without further ado, here's Anna.
Hey, Ohio, have you heard the buzz? Slingers signature cocktails are the new go-to to go. Slingers are convenient, canned, cocktail-inspired flavored beverages that bring you delicious flavors like Bahama Mama, Peach Screwdriver, and Pineapple Punch with 8% ABV. They pack a punch at a price you can't beat. No time to make fancy cocktails? Don't want to break the bank on a night out? Slingers has you covered. Blast your taste buds, not your wallet. Grab Slingers today. American Fermentation Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right. We are back. We are here. We are here with a young and fun candidate, Anna Thomas. How are you? Welcome to the show.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Of course. The second we saw your campaign, we were like, we need to connect with her. Like, she just seems like our vibe, our moment. We need to put a spotlight on. But for those that don't know, like, where you're running and what you're running for, that actually sounds like you're like on the run. Let me rephrase that. What elected position are you running for and in what district?
I'm running for, first of all, my name's Anna Thomas. I am running for state representative in my hometown of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and the surrounding areas of Nazareth area and Chalmers Township. And we're a great little place. We're the best place in Pennsylvania, but we're an hour north of Philadelphia, hour west of New York City. If we had high speed rail, we would be even closer, but we'll get into that.
So I have so much to say because I went to Lafayette for college. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like in that, or I was in that realm back in the day. And your point about high speed rail, oh my God, it would drive everybody up a wall because there was no way to get from, I mean, there's a bus, but it's real rickety from, you know, Easton to the city. So if you wanted to intern or do something in the city, you were totally like going to be up at all hours of the night trying to get back and forth, or like you had to have a car. Like I was lucky enough to have a car, but it was one of these things where I was like, why is there no connection here? Like there's so much industry being built in this area. And so much starting to, you know, happen and, you know, come together. And there's all these schools in that area. Like what gives? So I'm curious what your perspective is on growing up there, A, and B, like why we haven't had any movement on the transportation situation.
You know, what's wild is, I don't know if y'all have seen HBO's The Gilded Age, the limited series. But they might still be making seasons, I'm not sure. But I remember watching the first episode of The Gilded Age, and Cynthia Nixon's character is talking to like her sister in the show, and she's describing the like path that you would take to travel from Baltimore up to Manhattan. And she's like listing out all the stations. And she says, she's like, and then you change trains at Doylestown. And then you move from Doylestown to Bethlehem. And I remember hearing that, and a part of me just like wept for the loss of the infrastructure that we used to have. Because I mean, Bethlehem at one point was, and this is true, the second largest producer of steel in the entire world. So y'all know the world. We were the second largest producer of steel in the world. So it was like Pittsburgh, and then it was Bethlehem, and then it was whoever else. But it was, you know, such a cornerstone of American infrastructure for so long. And then, you know, shout out to my local unions, United Steelworkers, like every single labor entity that built Bethlehem to what it is today. And at some point, I think we just kind of as a country collectively decided that we're going to shortchange all public transit at the expense, you know, and it's a shame, but I don't think we can't get back to that. I think we can and build better systems for everyone that are, you know, electric, for example, you know?
Shout out to the Gilded Age for opening eyes and hearts everywhere. Just love that reference. And Cynthia Nixon, shout out. Well, definitely want to circle back to and get more on your campaign and like why you're running. Like, what was the real decision point for you of like, I've grown up here, but this is what I see that needs to change. And like, I want to be that agent of change in my community. Like, what was that for you?
I love the way you phrase that question, because I think it is like, it's so mixed together, the concept of growing up here and also the things that drive me to run for office here. And I think anybody who runs in their actual hometown probably feels something familiar, which is, I'm a K-12 public school student. My story is that I'm a K-12 public school student in my district. And I graduated at a time, or I was in high school at a time when the state legislature was completely controlled by one party. So the state house was fully Republican, the state Senate was fully Republican, and the governor was fully Republican. And collectively, as a trifecta, they decided to cut over $1 billion in public education, from public education, which was one of the, if not, it's like a once in a lifetime budget cut. And there were mass furloughs across the entire state. My favorite teacher, who was my ninth grade English teacher, ended up getting furloughed. And there were just everyone's favorite teacher, I think, I don't think anybody was able to go, any public school student was able to escape that budget cut unscathed without a teacher that they really cared about being let go. And by the way, I think we're still completely, that budget cut set us behind decades. And the reason for that, and I think, you know, this is like a deeper philosophical question that we could talk about, but like, you know, public education is one of those policy issues that if you cut funding to public education, or if you in some other way underfund or you know, do a disservice to public education, it's like a victimless crime, because the people on the receiving end of that are children. It's interesting also, because say you do the opposite, say you put a ton of money and support into public education, and you really do a lot to strengthen public education in your state. The impact of that is only really felt 20 years later, right? So it's like planting a tree, right? So it's kind of like the thing about that that's always tricky and like exists in like the way that politicians go about thinking about what policies they'll work toward or what they won't work toward is if you can't take credit for like a positive thing, it's almost this like existential question that people have to face of like, well, okay, if I properly fund public education and if I fix all these issues, but we'll only really see the impacts of that indirectly in 20 years when the labor market is like that much stronger and people are able to feed their families, but people won't be able to directly point at me and be like, that's because of you. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Obviously, like a moral issue there. There's a class issue there. But at the end of the day, it, I think, really comes down to the fact that there's a lack of inherent accountability to how we decide what policy priorities we want to actually get fully funded in this district and across the entire state. So back to my story, when I was a sophomore in high school, is I started going to every single school board meeting, and I realized that there was a position on the school board for me to serve as a student representative. And then I became the student rep for my school board in the last 2 years of high school. And that was really the thing that, you know, kept me interested in public policy and in local government and state government, because I realized that the things that actually most directly impact your life are things that are decided at the state level.
Totally. And we've talked about that so much, especially in the context of like post-COVID, the like realization was like come to Jesus that so many people have had of that, of knowing like, okay, where are these decisions actually being made? Like, can I wear a mask or do I, you know, or like, what does that sort of look like? That's happening in your city. That's happening in your town. It's happening, you know, at, you know, the state level. And obviously that applies to a gazillion other things, but sort of that open door of like where people started to understand like, oh, wait, these are the systems at work here, good or bad, in terms of like what's going to impact my day to day. And I think your point about education, I mean, I could wax poetic about public education all fucking day. Let me just say that first and foremost. But I think you're so right about this being sort of this like victimless crime, because it's like, how do you, you know, point, who do you point to blame? And how do you blame someone from 10 years ago? Like, it's really hard to, dare I say, market around. And I think if I think about when we were kids being like a loose term, but like in school and, you know, our public education spaces, you know, one of the things they tried to do is like really, at least this was in New Jersey, is they like really tried to put things to a test. So it's like, okay, wow, like you're going to take, you know, that's how we're going to judge it. That's how we're going to see like, are these policies working? Like, can this kid, you know, pass this test or get XYZ percentage better? You know, did the teachers do what they, you know, were supposed to do? And it's obviously, to me, it was such a misnomer. I was like, okay, well, now I've just learned to a test. I have no real like life skills. And even some of the things that like we should just know that maybe aren't life skills out the door because we're learning for a test. So, you know, I think there is so much to be said about education and public education specifically as a, you know, a policy piece and as something that people need to be paying attention to. And I think it's been called like not sexy forever, but ironically, like it is literally like the building blocks to everything else. Like you can't have a successful economy if everyone's uneducated and can't read. Like you know what I mean? And obviously,
again, yeah,
one brash way of putting it, a very Jersey of me, dare I say, but you know what I mean? Like it's bananas. And so I'm curious, like from like your district's area, what people are saying about education, obviously public education specifically, and like, you know, what is sort of the pulse, the vibe? How do people feel about it in your area?
It's so interesting because in my district, there's such a disparity. There's so much disparity between people's educational experiences, even within the same school district or the same school. Right. Like I was a public school student fully in the Bethlehem Area School District, which is it's a school district that is in the bottom. And actually backing up a second, we used to have the worst funding inequity in the entire country. here in Pennsylvania. Wow. I think that we maybe got a little bit better in the past couple of years, but not necessarily because we actually fixed our inequities, but more because other states got more unfair, right? So for us, I think, you know, the problem that structurally exists in Pennsylvania is the fact that we, first of all, you know, there's a huge issue with, in general, not getting enough funding to our school districts, right? So we have, the way that you fund school districts is from money that comes from Harrisburg and money that is provided by local property taxes. So those are like the two funding sources, right? And the problem in Pennsylvania is that we have the widest gap between those two percentages, where depending on where you live in the state, Harrisburg will either give you a ton of your money or Harrisburg will give you very little of your money, and your property taxes locally have to pick up the slack, right? So it's this really interesting thing where I think that people here locally understand the importance of education. They know that the way that their children are going to have a life that is as good as their current life or better is through education. Simultaneously, I think that there is, you know, justified resentment about how much people are paying to support schools through their local property taxes. That is like a very specific regional issue, from the fact that we're in a part of the state that actually, we're one of those places where we have a lot of people who live here. We don't get our fair share of funding from the state capital to cover local school districts. And so people have to, you know, we're nickel and diming the middle class to be able to supplement these public goods, right? And so I would love to see, I think, people, you know, actually be serviced with like an amazing quality public education. To your point, Sammy, I mean, you can actually look up charts that show like public goods, types of public goods, and then like the y-axis is like return on investment, right? And the y-axis, like, right, like basically like the 95% return on investment, like the highest return on investment you can get from any public good comes from early childhood education, which makes so much sense, right? Like it's like the wage gap, like anything that you think about as far as the economy actually moves is connected to people's ability to have kids. So your ability to like have neighbors in 20 years who are going to be like able to be in the labor force with you. And also the ability for your neighbor to, you know, drop her kid off at a daycare or childcare center that she can afford. And I don't think it's rocket science. I think it's just that we need to have people that we put in office who actually genuinely care about our kids and about, you know, presenting people with as many options as possible to be able to fairly support growing their families and choosing to move here to have their kids and, you know, be able to build their lives. So that's my soapbox about that.
I love it. Well, I also want to just like learn more about your district and like, what's Bethlehem like? What's its personality? What are the things to do? What are the hobbies that you do? I just want to know more about what the life is like there.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, should I put up a slideshow? Like I'm one of those people, right, where like one of my personality traits is like being obsessed with my hometown and with the so it's like, I like clearly, and then it's like I made it my job. And so I am someone who, you know, so first of all, Bethlehem, Christmas City, right? Like Steel City, like we've got so many great cultural dynamics here that I think are just an amazing, like, especially to be from here. It's like, if anybody's ever like, come spend Christmas with me in Rochester or like somewhere else, I'll be like, do you know where I'm from? Come.
Wait, I need to hear more about this Christmas City. Can you like paint the picture? Because I love Christmas so much. And I'm like just picturing the most glorious little cute Christmassy town. I need to hear more.
Come to Bethlehem. Both Bethlehem and Nazareth, so those are like the two major city centers in my house district, were founded by Moravians who were, and by the way, I am like drawing from literal third grade curriculum right now, so please forgive any factual inaccuracies. I'm sorry, Mrs. Zimmerman, if I get any of this information wrong, but both Bethlehem and Nazareth were founded by Moravian settlers who came to Eastern Pennsylvania from Europe to basically seek freedom from religious persecution. And Bethlehem City, which is, Bethlehem City is not in my district, but I have Bethlehem proper in my house district. Bethlehem City was founded on Christmas Eve. And it is extremely cool to be. And so like when you're in Bethlehem, most parts of Bethlehem, and you look up, you can see the mountain like around where Lehigh University is. And you can see that they have like a giant light bulb star, like 8-pronged meridian star that you can see from most places in Bethlehem City. And it's very, it's like so charming. And you can go up to the light and you can see it. And I remember being a kid in this area and just thinking to myself, like, Bethlehem was the cultural capital of the entire world. Like, I just felt so like, and we have like, you know, the Bach Choir is like world renowned, like travels the world and is like so incredible. Like the music scene here is like unbelievable. There are people who I think, you know, have done so much art and come to Bethlehem because they love the presence that Bethlehem offers to be able to like, you know, stimulate creativity. So it's just this amazing cultural center. And then, you know, along with that, it's like we have this really gritty history with labor and with like, you know, unions really built Bethlehem and Nazareth and made it, made these towns like what they are. And I think that, you know, especially given our geographic proximity to New York and Philly, like we have something that few places have, which is like, we're in this like epicenter for people. Like so many of my friends' parents when I was growing up commuted to either city center, right? And so I would love to see Bethlehem grow into its geographic location and like, you know, Bethlehem people and Nazareth people and like all people in the Lehigh Valley feel like they are part of something bigger, right? And like are not, to your point from earlier, like landlocked in how they are able to access the outside world, right? Yeah. And so, but that being said, I mean, we are, I think that what I love about this place is that we are, there's like great cultural centers nearby, which I could go on and on about. We actually turned our old steel furnaces into one of the great arts districts in the Lehigh Valley, which is fantastic. I highly recommend going and checking out the steel stacks. You can watch the World Cup from the steel stacks when it's happening in the summer. But like, it's amazing. But I feel like the thing that I love also is the way that we have access to these amazing outdoor places. And you can go do a hike. You can go to like one of the best state parks in the state. Jacobsburg is like a 10-minute drive in the same, you know, in the opposite direction. So you have every single thing that you could desire in a hometown, and it's so charming. So I love to be from here. I love having people be from here with me, and it's a beautiful experience to be in Bethlehem and Nazareth and Palmer. You know, it's great. So that's what I love.
That I'm just picturing the quaintest, cutest town, and I need to come visit. So we figured that out today.
This is how I get Maddie back on the East Coast. It's fine. Little trip. Make us stop at Lafayette. I actually, our senior year, we had like, wouldn't even know what this was called, but like senior year closing party. I don't know. Like, don't quote me on this, obviously, but at the Steel Stacks. So I've been there, can attest. It's wonderful. For anyone going to PA, definitely check it out. I think one thing, and this is like the perfect thing to wrap on, is what is like a recommendation? Somebody is coming there for the first time. They're trying to get an understanding of like what is fun, what to do. Like, what are you recommending? What is like you have to go check this out if you're coming to either Bethlehem or any of the towns that are a part of your district?
Okay, a couple things. It depends on what time of year you're coming. So Music Fest, always. If you're here in late summer, early August, you need to stop by Music Fest, which, many childhood memories of going to Music Fest. And I think that if someone is just like here, Bethlehem has one of the top 10 best vegan bakeries in the entire world. Vegan Treats, shout out to Vegan Treats. Go to Vegan Treats.
Like a vegan donut. Do they have vegan donuts?
Oh, yeah. No, they have every kind of, they have donuts. Yeah, it can't say enough good things about Vegan Treats. In my district, there is an amazing taco place, Geekers Tacos. Shout out to Geekers. Geekers sells, and this is true, gator tacos. So you can go and you can get like any kind of, it's kind of amazing. They have all kinds of alligator products that they sell at Geekers. Oh, wow. It's a riot and it's delicious. Just got
Gator's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I've never had it.
It's like a chicken. It gives like a chicken vibe.
Okay. Right? Makes sense.
Absolutely. No. And the thing about like, so there's like so many good like food stands like that in the district. So there's like another food stand like that called The Spot up in Nazareth, which is so fun. You just go out in the summer and it's like one of those third places that everybody gravitates towards when it's like, especially when it's like a balmy summer night, everyone just loves, you know, going to a food stand and hanging out. And then I feel like Nazareth itself is just like a charming place. It is like super walkable, great, like, you know, library, great city center. You just kind of like park your car, walk around, you like go get a coffee from like, you know, the coffee shop in the little circle, and you just enjoy your life. You love your life. I just think that like the beautiful thing, like the things you can't miss are the things that get you into spaces where you are meeting the people from here. And maybe that's, I don't know, maybe I'm biased. I am like a huge extrovert and I am someone who as a job has like chosen to spend my job talking to people who are from this area. But I mean, you really can't go wrong with the Lehigh Valley, and Lehigh Valley people are the best people. They are so unbeatable. So that's why
I love it. The pride is felt. I will tell you that for sure. I love that. And we've loved having you on. But before you go, we want to also just kind of get any campaign details of like, what's the state of the race? Where are you at? How do people find you? How do people get involved? And why is it important to tune into your race?
Oh my gosh, such a good question. So many good questions in one question.
I know. Sorry, that was a lot of questions in one question, but
question sandwich. You get the gist.
Perfect. Anna Ferpenna on everything. A-N-N-A, F-O-R-P-E-N-N-A. And honestly, I think that the main thing that we are doing this year, so like just to catch everyone up, I am running in a race that is a rematch from 2022. So in 2022, I ran against a then 12-year Republican incumbent who I almost beat by 700 votes.
And wow.
When I am elected in Pennsylvania, I would be the only woman. I don't even say this from a place of joy or pride. This is like a big problem. When I'm elected, I'll be the only woman under 30 in the entire state house. And by the way, we have a lot of 20-year-olds in the state house. So it's just that none of them are women, right? And so I think that we as a state are at a time where also Pennsylvania is a swing state. This is a presidential election year. There's like layers of interest that stack on top of this particular race. But then, you know, one that is near and dear to my heart that I think really matters is the fact that, you know, I and my peer group are all like, you know, all my friends are talking about like planning their families, like having kids. Pennsylvania is, we are exactly 50-50 in the state house. It's like 102 to 101. We have a Republican state Senate, and the only thing that stops Pennsylvania from like passing an abortion ban, which we have tried to do previously, is basically our Democratic governor's veto pen, right? So I am running against someone who has voted to ban in 2017. He voted to ban abortion in Pennsylvania. And that is something that I think is one of the core issues that I feel and that I am fighting for as someone who cares about fairness and equity in the district. I don't have anything that like drives me aside from just wanting to see people live a good life, like a high quality of life, and a life that is they are treated fairly and like with dignity and integrity, right? And so I think that the state of the race is, you know, we're gonna be as scrappy as ever. And like, we've always been the underdog in this race, but like underdogs win. Like, you know, it's like at the end of the day, we are working as a team and as a unit. And I really believe in that. I think that we have what it takes to be able to be successful this year. So I would love for anyone to join us. If you're in the tri-state area, please come canvass with us. I can share some Mobilize links with y'all. And we're going to be out here knocking every single day until November 5th. Don't forget to vote. Also,
door knocking with vegan treats. Going to bring those vegan treats.
Yes.
Girl,
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.